This is the Outsource Accelerator Podcast, exploring business and outsourcing mastery. Let's do it. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator Podcast. My name is Derek Gallimore, and this is episode number 159. So today we have Chris Buckenbach of Kooi. We originally spoke to Chris in episode 156. If you want to go and listen to his origin story and his corporate background and how he got to be starting Kooi, then go and listen to that. In this episode, we talk more specifically about Chris's company, which is called Kooi. We talk about why it's called Kooi and explore the values that he offers to potential consultants. Now, this isn't an infomercial. I find real value in exploring what is out there in the outsourcing world for clients and kind of drilling down on the business model a bit. So I really do find value in our conversation that we had with Chris. If you want any of the show notes or to get in touch with Chris, then go to outsourceaccelerator.com/159. Enjoy. Hi, and welcome back, everybody. Today, I am joined by Chris Buckham again of Kooi, which is a high-touch, high-value kind of BPO here in Manila. And also, they do brain training and management training, which I want to hear more about from Chris directly. So, hi, Chris. How are you? And thanks for joining.
Hi, Derek. Yep. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure, pleasure. And I suppose initially, we have spoken to you previously, so if people want to go and listen to that, then of course, please do. But do you want to just give a brief introduction of yourself and how you came to be running Kooi?
Sure. So I've spent many years in the finance industry in different parts of the world, but the last 10 years here in Manila and with Deutsche Bank, working in shared services, working in the BPO industry, managing big teams, managing migrations of work, running all sorts of different functions. So kind of a pretty wide exposure to the sector. And the opportunity came up a year ago for my wife and I to fund a startup, which is Kooi, and we run brain-based coaching programs for sort of manager, team lead level with companies here and abroad. I can talk more about that. And then we, at the same time, we have a small, I would probably call it a boutique BPO with a couple of clients out of Australia, with a couple more coming on board. And that's great because we've always been very passionate about managing people, about developing people. So by not only having these training programs where we're out running these programs in other BPOs and in other companies here, we also have our own team in Kooi HQ, who are able to sort of, impart, our vision on every day and help them realize their potential and help them along the path to where they want to go.
Fantastic. And, I'm based in Manila, and actually we're based in the same suburb of Manila, but it's interesting to see more and more people, were originally sent to Manila. It was a bit of a kind of hardship destination. And then over the last 10 years or so, Manila has actually become a destination of people's preference, and people have a great quality of life here, which, you're one of those. But interestingly as well, you were involved in shared services with a big corporate, and you've taken that aggregated knowledge and experience, and instead of kind of leaving Manila, you're then building the economy and building the, I suppose, sophistication of the industry through your own startups. And we're really seeing a lot of that in the outsourcing space. A lot of people with budding businesses and new ideas. It's interesting. I really like getting, having a chat to people such as yourself, because you're not, there's a lot of people starting BPOs, but you are as well in the space of brain-based coaching and I suppose kind of management enhancement, because there's a lot of BPOs here, there's a lot of clients here, but people don't realize quite how much work it takes to run a successful outsourced operation. And is it right that you're sort of focusing on outsourced operations and trying to increase efficiency, trying to increase the returns of those?
Yeah, I mean, we as we have our own BPO. As I say, we probably pitch more as a boutique, sort of higher up the value chain, and we spend a lot of time on site with our clients. We give them, high quality kind of, reporting governance. We have resiliency plans. So a lot of the things I kind of learned over the years working for Deutsche Bank, we've tried to impart that and make that sort of a really high quality offering to our clients, rather than just, throw your processes over the fence. And we really try, and we look at process improvements. We as I said, we get down and we take them through a governance pack every month with metrics and, some KPIs and risk indicators and volumes and these type of things. And I think they appreciate that. So we're sort of pitching more as this is a partnership rather than, we're just a third party provider. So that's important for us on the BPO side. And really that it gets back to our views on leadership. We're very, Pia and I are passionate about developing people, building long-term partnerships. And that's really what kind of comes through in our coaching programs that we're trying to get out and impart in the wider sector here, particularly in the BPO sector.
Right. And people, I think, that are new to outsourcing don't realize that it is different. It's different running an outsourcing team. It's different, effectively managing a team of Filipinos, for example. There's kind of endless nuances. What do you see as some of the value adds that you can add? And what are some of the sort of similarities, and what are some of the differences that you can maybe convey to people?
Well, I think we always put people number one. I mean, I know a lot of companies will, it's a typical thing for people, for organizations to say, but I think in this market, it's paramount that you have to focus on developing your leaders. And we've seen over the growth of this industry is you've ended up in a situation where at times you have very young, mid-20s, for example, managers who have these very, very large teams. How do they keep those teams motivated and fulfilled in what they're doing? It's challenging. It's definitely challenging, but ultra important. And so our programs are in there, trying to unlock perhaps a different style of thinking. That is typical, I suppose, in organizations, and that is unlocking a bit more of the social side of the brain. So rather than just the pure analytical, results-driven KPIs, metrics, etc., trying to look into a little bit more of that, the social side, the limbic system part of the brain, with our feelings and our thoughts, and if we can unlock that type of thinking in one-on-one conversations, in team meetings, it's been proven through science that you will ultimately see a more fulfilled team or team members who have higher impact, and they will enjoy coming to work more. And I think that is because it is a challenge in this industry where a lot of the functions can be quite routine, process driven, etc. So how do you keep someone motivated and fulfilled if they're coming in doing, 8 hours of data entry or running the same P&L process every day? So they you need to be able to unlock, and find what really drives and motivates people. And our programs are in there trying to give managers a few different, tips on how to do that.
Right. And with your training then, do you see yourself as a bit of a conduit between the management styles in the West and and the sort of facilitation of things in the Philippines? Because, it takes a certain, it's a different understanding, isn't it? And so is it sort of kind of translating things to get good results, or is it, is this a sort of completely standardized, completely international approach, would you say?
I think what we do is, I mean, we haven't just come up with this, our own. There's industries around the globe and in certain locations that have been practicing, neuro leadership and this sort of this other sort of take on developing leaders for many years. Like companies like Google, for example, really heavily into mindfulness and empathy and a lot of these topics. PwC. So, it's definitely happening. And we see an opportunity here to really, in a market that I think really needs it. If we can, and what we're saying, we kind of look at it as like a, we call it a neuro seesaw. So, one end is your analytical you're sort of problem solving, and you, so that's really what we operate day to day in an office, is because it's metrics driven, it's deadlines, it's projects, and we typically groom our leaders to operate at that level. So very analytical.
Mm.
What we're trying to say is, can we just try and balance that seesaw a little bit, you know, with a little bit more thinking around empathy, you know, growth mindset, etc. If we can kind of balance it, the studies have shown, as I said, you will find better engagement at work, motivation, and that ultimately rewards the whole organization. So we're trying to really push those topics out, make people more aware of the brain. Our coaching programs start with the first three sessions just explaining the brain, explaining the social part of the brain, all the drivers and why you act the way you are, and that no two brains are alike. And then it starts to get into, how can you use this in your conversations with your team, in your one-on-ones? How do you strengthen trust using empathy and growth mindset to improve your impact as a leader? And then the final bit is we get into what is the why you do what you do. How do you align your why to your organization's why? And we think that sort of program can be very powerful, particularly in the BPO and call center industries where we have some clients.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're very sort of community-based people in the Philippines, and I think it's so important that people recognize the work environment as communities. And I think quite often in the West, people can forget that and just want people to produce deliverables. And it's really good to bring it back to it.
That's a really interesting point, actually. I mean, I'll give you a good example. We were speaking to a client late last year, and they had done one of these surveys, and it came back with motivation levels down. People aren't getting fulfillment from what they're doing. But then they sat there and said, well, we don't understand it because our attrition levels are good and our KPIs are all green and we're hitting all our targets. Well, the answer is, yeah, I mean, Filipinos are fantastic workers. They will come in, they will hit their KPIs and their metrics. They will get things done. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they're motivated and enjoying what they're doing. So there's often that, and this is one of the challenges in the sector, is that someone will put a report up in Sydney or in, you know, London or wherever the onshore is, and go, well, you know, we're hitting all our targets, but why are people not happy?
And I think one of the real wins for the Philippines is to get people using initiative. It's to get people free thinking. It's to get people to act kind of autonomously and develop the role themselves. And there's potentially people can downplay the value of those things, and then so of course it's the organization that suffers if you don't really get kind of a conscious contribution to the role. So it's certainly a win-win. Where do you see over the, you know, you've been involved in the sector for 10 plus years, but where do you see it evolving? Are you seeing it is improving? Are you seeing people are being acknowledged more as individuals, and they're also getting better at using their own sort of intuition and assertiveness? Or is it kind of regressing as things are falling more back towards kind of KPI tracking and automation?
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously a range of different structures that you're either captive or go through a BPO, and there's companies have been here a lot longer than others. I think there's definitely some really good examples of companies coming in, their Manila operations included in big global change programs that are around culture and these type of things. But I tend to think, we still do lean a little bit towards the analytical, and we're sort of, we're grooming leaders to think at that level a little bit too much.
I do say, actually, I really do think that the Philippines, they are the world specialists in kind of process optimization and KPIs. Now, that's either a kind of a good thing or a bad thing, isn't it? You know, because they can just kind of, like, a process used to be pretty organic, but now it can just be drilled down to such a granular level and traced with KPIs. Now, yeah, there's an argument that that's not such a good thing. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, but look, I mean, to your question, I'm still very bullish on the sector. Now I've come out of being a big corporation and looking at it, our clients are in the SME, market, and I see huge upside really. Despite you mentioned earlier, there's tons of BPOs over here, but certainly from what conversations we've had in different geographies, there's still a huge amount of upside.
Yeah, massive potential. And of course, you, as you mentioned, you run this high value BPO, and of course, if people engage with you and your BPO, then they, you know, they get all of this oversight, they get all of this sophistication, or certainly, you know, that's kind of, there's an implicit involvement there. So, and this is what I preach to people, that, you know, it's not just getting a bum on a seat, but there's incredible kind of associated sophistication when you're outsourcing. If someone wants to learn more or someone wants to get in touch with you, Chris, how can they do that?
Through our website, mycooe.biz, and we're on Facebook. All the contact details are there, and we'd love to have a conversation.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Chris, and of course we'll leave all of those details in the show notes.
Many thanks. Thanks, Derek.
Okay, that was Chris Buckham of Cooe. If you want to get in touch with Chris or want to know any more about this episode, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/159. And as always, if you want to get in touch with us or ask us anything, just drop us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.